Well, good morning and welcome. It is good to see everybody here. Bonnie and I missed you for the last few weeks while we were away. But as Ryan talked about at the Lord's table, I was thinking about the same things over the last few Sundays when we were partaking of the Lord's Supper. I was thinking about how this common action was being shared by you here and even with Rob and Maureen who are in Africa, how this common faith and common action brought us together, that though we were apart, we were still together. And so we did miss you. We were thinking about you, and it's a great joy to come back. I'll have some to talk about about my trip later on. I know that England's not exactly the Bible lands, but you go to the British Museum, and you might as well have. There's so much there that relates to what we see within the Bible, and I'd like to share some of that with you, but not this morning. Give me some time with that. What I'd like to talk to you about this morning is one of the things that I missed a lot on this trip was Dylan's class. I considered it such a joy to be a part of that class on Proverbs. It was so enjoyable to do the lesson every week. I looked forward to it. It was just great to go dig into Proverbs. And I don't want to say that Dylan didn't do a good job. He did a fantastic job. I want to review one of his lessons. Because as he was talking about the idea of work and success in the book of Proverbs, I started writing down some notes because I saw some hints, some things where you have this man who is given divine wisdom and he looks into the world and he sees what is it that makes one person successful and another person not. I've got to listen to that. And that's something that the world really cares about. There's so many self-help books. There's get-rich-quick plans, and I really do not like sermons that are about here's how you can get rich. This is as close to a sermon on that as you're going to get from me. But here it is from Proverbs, this Solomon giving us the suggestions. Here's how you can succeed. And we looked at this, and I want to review some of it, and then I want to add some thoughts to it. Five keys to success for us. So many people today believe that the keys to success is, oh, what's the phrase? Check your privilege. Anybody hear that? I hope you haven't. I hope you haven't. It's something that says, basically, the reason why you succeed is you were born special. And the other people were born not special, and that's why they don't succeed. Solomon's not going to agree with that. In his divine wisdom, he says, here's the first key to success. And he's going to repeat it over and over in the book of Proverbs, and that is work hard. It's not about who your parents were. It's not about your race. It's not about your government. It's about your effort. Work hard. And so again and again, I don't know what book that first one is. Revelations. That should be Proverbs. After 20. Remind me to fix that before I put this on the internet. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 13. Do not love sleep or you will become poor. Open your eyes and you will be satisfied with food. We live in a society that loves the weekend, that loves rest, that loves the break, that loves getting off of work. Why are we surprised that we struggle with success at work? We dream about getting away. He says, here it is. If you love sleep, if you love that break, you don't get the benefits of the work. And so in chapter 10 in verse 4 of Proverbs, he says, poor is he who works with a negligent hand, but the hands of the diligent makes rich. He just says there's a direct connection between your effort and the outcome that is a result of it. You want more? Work harder. That's the basic point. And again, over and over, I can't even say it right now because it's wrong on there. Proverbs 26 and verse 13. The sluggard says, there is a lion in the road. A lion is in the open square. And one of the things we observed in the class about this was the ones who fail, the ones who are lazy and sluggards and who come to poverty are the ones who always have an excuse for not working. They always have an excuse. So here is the circumstance. They say, no, no, there's danger out there. I'm not going to leave the house today. I'm not going to go out and work. You want to succeed? No excuses to hard work. There it is. No excuses. You just get it done. And that is one of the keys to success. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 11. It says, he who tills his land will have plenty of bread, but he who pursues worthless things lacks sense. Now think about this one, especially young people. When you start thinking about what you're going to study in college, think about this for a second. The school may offer you a degree, but it may be a worthless degree. One of the keys to success is not just work hard, but work hard on things that matter. Work hard on things that will have a good result. Don't just... Getting a degree on comic books may not help you a whole lot in life. You may be really interested in comic books, but it's not something that really works. So here it says, somebody who works hard on the land, works hard at farming, guess what? They get food. Work hard at comics, I don't know what you get. So it's, and by that, I did not mean actually writing comics. You can do that. I mean the people who study comics and are experts at comics, not making them. Okay, I'm going to get off this subject. Let's push on. Comics was not in my notes. So Colossians chapter 3 says that this principle of working hard is not limited to the Old Testament. It's not limited to something that was mentioned way, way, way back then. But here this New Testament, this new covenant that we live under carries the same concept. When he talks about slaves who are, you know, they're in the lowest places of the earth, but he's telling them, this is what you need to do. You need to work hard. Be diligent in the things that you do. Colossians 3, verse 22, slaves, in all things obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do your work heartily. As for the Lord, rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, it is the Lord Christ whom you serve. We only looked at some of the passages in Proverbs. Again and again and again, the message is, oh, the sluggards will come to a bad end, and those who work hard will get good results. That's your first principle of success. The second one is, get good at something and be skilled. So Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 9. And verse 29. Do you see a man skilled in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. One of the keys to success is be good at something. I mean, be really good at it. That is part of where college comes in, where education comes in. It's about going off and getting trained in certain areas. It doesn't have to be college. It can be vocational school. But the idea is, if you want to succeed, get good at something and then work hard at it. All right. Now that sounds very, very materialistic so far. But now Solomon's going to start changing his approach. And so are we. He's going to then say, the next thing, the key to success is to fear God. I was watching something on PBS where they had this panel of successful people together, and they were talking about success, and they said, if you think that hard work is the key to success, you're wrong. It won't always work. And you know what? I think they're wrong in the sense that hard work is absolutely a key to success, but they're right in the sense that it won't always work. People that work hard are not guaranteed success. They're not guaranteed riches and wealth. There are other problems that come in. There are things that we don't control. I know I don't have it written up here, but if you look at Haggai, what we have is a people that are hard workers, but not getting the great results of it. In Haggai chapter 1, starting in verse 5, this prophet comes to the people. And he starts off and he says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, but harvest little. You eat, but there's not enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there's not enough to become drunk. You put on clothing, but no one is warm enough. And he who earns wages to put into a purse with holes." And so here, they work hard, but they don't get anything for it. He keeps going on, verse 7. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains, bring wood, and rebuild the temple, that I may be pleased with it, and be glorified, says the Lord. You look for much, but behold, it comes to little. When you bring it home, I blow it away. Why? Declares the Lord of hosts. Because of my house, which lies desolate, while each of you runs to his own house. Therefore, because of you, the sky has withheld its dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. I called for a drought on the land, on the mountains, on the grain, on the new wine, on the oil, on what the ground produces, on men, on cattle, and on all the labor of your hands." And so here these people had worked so hard, and it didn't matter how hard they worked, because they were working against God, and you will fail. With God, there is nothing but success. Without God, there is no success. And so, understanding that, yes, we have a responsibility to work hard, we have to understand that on those things we cannot control, God does, and so we need God. And we should focus on Him. So go back to Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 4, he says, "Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death." So rather than just focusing on money and on wealth, we need to focus on our relationship with God. It is more important. Proverbs 15 and verse 16. "Better is a little with fear of the Lord than great treasure and turmoil with it." Proverbs 3 verses 9 through 10. "Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine." And so here this relationship of success begins with, do you have the proper relationship with God? If you're so busy with work that you don't have time for God, you have a path for failure. If you are more focused on God, you are on the path to success, because He's the one who controls all things. So that's our first three points. Work hard, get good, fear God, and then the next thing is keep perspective. Money isn't everything. So Proverbs 23, verses 4 through 5. "Do not weary yourself to gain wealth. Cease from your consideration of it. When you set your eyes on it, it is gone, for wealth certainly makes itself wings like an eagle that flies towards the heavens." So as much as we may wish for success, he says, watch out for that inward desire for wealth, because that's a desire that will not be satisfied. And the money will go away. In Mark chapter 8, Jesus teaches the same basic thing about keeping perspective when he says, what if you gain the whole world and forfeit your soul? What good will all of that money do on the day of judgment? Why don't you turn over there really quickly? I want you to see something about this passage. I want you to think about the context. So we're at Mark chapter 8. Let's start off again and read verse 36 and 37. "For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" I want you to consider the verse before and the verse after. Verse before, verse 35. "Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." And then down in verse 38, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." So verse 36 and 37 are talking about wealth, right? But the verses around it are talking about standing up for God. What's the connection? These people were were put in a position where if they stood for God, they might lose their wealth, their jobs, they might lose their life. And Jesus is saying, you still stand for God. You know what? We may get to that position in life. quite frankly, in some ways, many of us are already there. So Bonnie and I write books. You know, one of the challenges with that is the writing world is not exactly the moral world. They're on the cutting edge of immorality. And so there's this pressure to not let the people know who I am. To not let them know my views on things that right now are the big hot topics, such as if they know that I believe homosexuality is a sin, I'm done. Don't send it to an agent. Don't bother trying to get that to an editor. They don't agree, they don't like me. And so here's the passage that's saying, you want to succeed, you have to be unashamed of Jesus and unashamed of his doctrines and of his faith, because yes, it may cost you money. Yes, it may cost you your job. Yes, it may even cost you your life. But those things don't matter ultimately. Keep perspective. All the money in the world will not matter on the day of judgment. And these other passages go along with the same line, that if we have a love for money, it will lead us astray. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 19, it tells the rich to take hold of that which is life indeed, and that's not riches. Keep perspective. And the final point I want to give to you, before you get excited and think, oh, we've got our 5 points, we're about ready to get to that lunch that Ryan got everybody thinking about. We're going to go back through these points. So we're not there. We're not actually at the halfway point either. We're past that. But Proverbs chapter 11. Once we have perspective and we realize that it's not all about how much money do I have and how much more money do I have than other people. Once we realize that it's more about the relationship we have with God, we take a look at our money and it's less important to us, and now we start using it. And one of the keys to success is using your money rather than holding it. Being generous and sharing. And so Proverbs 11 verses 24 through 26 says, there is one who scatters and yet increases all the more. And there is one who withholds what is justly due, and yet it results only in want. The generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. He who withholds grain, the people will curse him, but blessings will be on the head of him who sells it. Basically, what it comes down to is this. Help others, because one day you'll need help. And when you're one of those who has helped others, you will find help. And when you're one who has not, you will not find the help you need. So be generous. And so 1 Timothy 6, the New Testament, the instructions to the rich. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. And so here's this idea of be generous. Okay. There's your 5 keys to physical financial success in this life. And that is about as close to a sermon on that sort of subject you're going to get from me, which I guess by definition you just got it, so there it is. Now let's turn our thoughts to something, though. Many times the things that go on earth have parallels to things that go on in heaven. The physical has parallels to spiritual. The temple on earth was a physical temple, but we're told it was a shadow. It was a representative, a copy of the spiritual temple. Fascinating concept. The 5 keys to physical success are the same 5 keys to spiritual success. For us becoming spiritually rich, which is what really matters. So I want you to consider that we need to be people that are busy with hard work on spiritual things. So 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, yes, the New Testament tells us to be hard workers at work. We saw that in Colossians. But 2 Peter 1 and verse 5 says that we're supposed to, with all diligence, add to our faith moral excellence. And he goes on from there, but the started off with hard work, diligence. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 tells each of us to be diligent, to be hard workers, to be approved before God. Romans chapter 12, which was brought to us in class this morning, tells us to not lag behind in diligence. We're supposed to be hard workers if we want to succeed spiritually. If your idea of being a Christian is coming to church when it's convenient, that's not a method that will work for spiritual success. Just as if your idea for going into work is when you feel like it. See how long you go. See how high you get in that company. Hard work is not just for your job. Hard work is for you taking responsibility for your own growth. And if you think that by showing up once a week, you have done everything you need to do to grow and spiritually succeed, I believe you are living a life of delusion. This is only a beginning. When he says in 2 Peter chapter 1, and he goes through this list, how does this start? It says, "Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love." Yeah, we do that a little bit here. But this goes so much beyond these walls, so much beyond this assembly. You want to succeed spiritually and have a rich relationship with God, work hard at it and get good at it. So Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14 talks about this growth and this maturity, and he says, "Solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil." They have gotten good at figuring out what's right and what's wrong. And how they do that? Hard work, practice. But get good at spiritual things. Get good at recognizing wrong versus evil. Get good at recognizing the truth and doctrinal things. Get good at practicing righteousness in the world, at loving and helping and sharing. Get good at those things. And then, of course, fear God, which what I mean by this is, as much as when we said, okay, it's our responsibility to work hard, we realize that as hard as you may work, you will not ultimately succeed without God. The same thing is true spiritually. Work hard at your Christianity. Work hard at obedience. Work hard at living a good life. But recognize, you will never save yourself. We will always need that relationship with God. It is Paul, it is the amazing Paul, who has gone off on so many journeys and taught so many times and suffered so much for Jesus, but it is Paul who says in Ephesians 2 and verse 8 that we are saved by grace. No matter how hard we work, we still need to realize we need God's power. We need His grace. We need Jesus' sacrifice. So keep that focus on the relationship, not just on your behavior. Yes, work hard on your behavior, but don't lose sight on the relationship with God and your need for Him. Fourth, keep perspective, and that is keep focused on the fact that what really matters is the spiritual things, not the physical things. It is frustrating to me when parents tell me that their kids aren't at Bible class because they're at home doing their homework. Which one matters most? We have to recognize the spiritual things are more important than the physical things. Your relationship with God is more important than how many promotions you've had at work. Keep perspective. In Matthew 13 and verse 22, when Jesus is talking about the parable of the sower and the seeds, he talks about the one seed that becomes a Christian but fails, and it is because they lose perspective. The one on whom seed has sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. They've lost perspective on what matters. And now they're focused on all the things of the world that aren't important, rather than on the things of God that are eternally important. And then finally, one of the keys to our success spiritually is to be generous. This is true financially. Galatians 6 and verse 10, let us do good to all men. It's true financially. It's about helping other people with money that you have, the talents that you have. But spiritual success involves spiritual generosity. Physical success, financial success, means taking those finances and not hoarding it, also sharing with those who have need. Draw the spiritual application of that. You have been given a relationship with God. You have been given forgiveness of sins. You've been given the promise of the hope of an eternal life, an eternal home. Share that. Share that with the people of the world. That's a part of spiritual success. I thank you for your time and for your attention. I wish you all the success in the world, so much more spiritually than physically, because truthfully, the money's not that important. I saw an interesting article online the other day that said, the young people of America have given up on the hope of being rich. I kind of laughed at it because the young people of America don't realize they're already rich. We have a very messed up concept of rich. If you are not worried about whether you're going to have food today, you're rich. If you're not worried about whether you're going to have food all week, you're even richer than you realized. We're rich. We're already physically, financially successful. But I've got to tell you, this is a pretty poor country when it comes to spiritual wealth. Let us succeed there. God's given us a path. He's given us a plan. Let's follow it because it will work. If there are any here who are not Christians, we encourage you to become one. We encourage you to separate yourself from your sins and the horrible consequences that come from it. Jesus died on the cross for you. Do you believe that he was the Son of God? Do you believe that he died? Do you believe that he was resurrected? If you believe those things, it's time to take action. We encourage you to come forward, confess that faith, repent of your sins, and be baptized into Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. If you're a Christian and you have fallen away, thanks be to God for his mercy and his patience. The invitation is still extended to you. He wants you back. He will forgive. He has promised. Won't you come? As we stand and as we sing.